It was not Miss Penelope Lumley's first journey on a train, but it was the first one she had taken alone. As you may know, travelling alone is quite a different kettle of fish from travelling with companions. It tends to make people anxious, especially when en route to a strange place, or a new home, or a job interview, or, as in the case of Miss Lumley, a job interview in a strange place that might very well end up being her new home. She certainly had much to be anxious about. During the journey, her worried thoughts had included the following. Would she arrive at Ashton Place on time for her interview? Or would masked bandits storm the train and take the passengers hostage? She had never personally encountered a bandit, but she had read of such things in books, and the very idea gave her goosebumps. Would she be able to answer correctly should her prospective employers quiz her on, say, the capital cities of mid-sized European nations? The capital of Hungary is Budapest, she had recited in her mind in time to the clickety-clack of the train wheels. The capital of Poland is Warsaw. Would she be served tea and toast upon her arrival? And if she were, would she end up with marmalade all over the front of her dress and run from the room weeping? Clearly, being anxious is a full-time and rather exhausting occupation. Perhaps that explains why Miss Lumley, despite her inability to remember the capital of Norway, and her reluctance to muss her hair by leaning her head against the back of her seat, had finally succumbed to the soothing sway and rumble of the train. For the moment, at least, she had stopped worrying altogether, for she was soundly and deeply asleep. To be more specific, she was lost in a dream of long ago, a dream filled with laughter and black forest cake and sun-dappled meadows that rang with the singing of adorable birds.
Miss! Miss!
The conductor stood in the aisle next to her seat and spoke a bit louder than he normally would in order to be heard over the screechy din of the train's brakes being applied.
Is it the bandits? Miss Lumley cried, half asleep. For though unarmed, I will fight!
There are no bandits, miss.
The conductor looked rather embarrassed.
Forgive me for disturbing you, but we are arriving at Ashton Station. May I remove your luggage from the train?
As a very wise woman, whom we shall soon hear more about, once declared, there is no alarm clock like embarrassment. And by the time the conductor spoke the word luggage, Miss Lumley was far more awake than she wished to be. Had she really said something about bandits? She had seen cats fall clumsily from windowsills and then walk off as if nothing undignified had happened. This, Miss Lumley realised, was her wisest course of action. Best not to mention the bandits ever again.
You are forgiven, she said as she stood, and you may.
She followed the conductor down the aisle, staggering from side to side as the train lurched to a stop. The scrubbed-looking youth blushed scarlet as he heaved her trunk and carpet bag onto the platform.
I do apologise, miss.
He extended a hand to help her descend the steep metal stair.
It's only that I didn't want you to miss your stop.
And, as you can see, I have not.
She nodded her thanks and then shook her head as if to say, how ridiculous, meow, to think that I would travel all this way only to miss my stop, meow, meow. But in the end, she offered him a tiny smile, and this was enough to make the young man swell with pride at the fine service he had provided that day. In fact, the competence and dedication of the young conductor would soon come to the attention of his superiors, who would waste no time offering the stalwart fellow a promotion. Over the years, he would work his way up through the ranks and eventually become chief locomotive officer, a position that would render him modestly well-to-do and a perfectly well-liked chap to all who knew him. But this happy ending, like so many others, was still far off in the future. For now, the conductor simply watched through the window as the train pulled away. He saw how the rapidly receding Miss Lumley stood unmoving among the great puffs of steam, the blood-curdling scream of the wheels singing high over the melancholy tenor of the train whistle and the deep bass roar of the engine. Like the conductor, at that moment Miss Lumley had no way of predicting whether her life would turn out happily or in some other, less desirable way. Luckily, she knew better than to brood about such things. Although only 15 years old, she was a recent graduate of the Swanburn Academy for Poor Bright Females. During her years at that well-regarded school, Miss Lumley had been taught a great deal of both an academic and a philosophical nature. At the heart of her education were the sayings of Agatha Swanburn, the school's founder, and a woman of unparalleled common sense. She was, as you have already guessed, the very wise woman previously mentioned. These pithy kernels of truth were not unlike those you might find inside the fortune cookies at a Chinese restaurant, although you can be sure that neither Agatha Swanburn nor Miss Lumley had ever set foot in such an establishment. Agatha Swanburn, Miss Lumley felt quite sure, would not succumb to nervous fits simply because she was standing alone on a train platform in a strange town with all her meagre worldly goods around her, wishing that she had never had to leave her beloved school to make her own way in the world. But it could not be helped. Miss Lumley had graduated, a year early and at the top of her class, it should be said, and there was no longer any room for her at the academy. What with the constant influx of poor bright females waiting for a spot to open up. That is how Miss Charlotte Mortimer, the kind headmistress at Swanburn, had explained the situation. A person's life can certainly change a great deal in 2 days, Miss Lumley thought. And yet, she reminded herself, Agatha Swanburn would not waste a moment worrying about things that couldn't be helped, or events that hadn't happened yet, or subjects that were otherwise useless to dwell upon. Nor would she squeeze her own right hand tightly with her left, close her eyes and pretend, just for a moment, that it was Miss Charlotte Mortimer holding her hand, and that, when she opened her eyes, she would be surrounded by familiar people and places, and everything in her life would remain as it had always been. No. Agatha Swanburn would sit calmly upon her trunk to wait for her ride to Ashton Place, and perhaps take out a favourite volume of poetry to pass the time. And that is exactly what Miss Penelope Lumley did. She may have been young and alone, in a strange place, with no real home to return to, and on her way to a job interview, but she was also much, much more than her current circumstances would indicate. She was a Swanburn girl, through and through.